You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
KSL at night. KSL at night.
And welcome back to KSL at Night. You're here with me, Leah Murray, alongside my good friend Adam Gardner, and we are talking about all the interesting things. And Adam, I don't know, you're relatively new to KSL at Night, but did you know that you could go back in time and listen to every podcast episode that I was on?
I do now.
For like 2 years. So, and listeners, you can too. You can come listen to our shows on kslpodcast.com or really anywhere that you get your podcast. You could download it. Just look up KSL at Night, search for KSL at Night, and you can listen. And I would also tell you this, Adam, like, we've talked about what we're about to talk about before. So if someone's listening to this episode and thinking, what about Formula One and how does it intersect with politics? You could probably find an earlier version of this where we've had Alex Carey, KSL Sports host, assistant program director, on the show before to talk about Formula One. Alex, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm one of those rare Americans that find myself waking up early on weekends for no reason.
Pause.
Just to watch Formula One, so there we are.
But real quick, Alex, when they were just like in the South Pacific, like in Japan and Australia, were you up at like, you know, 1 a.m? Are you that kind of fan?
Well, yeah, so I am because I'm a late night guy anyway. That actually worked out because, one, it was a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Because of how far ahead they were. But yeah, I was up late. And I mean, it's the ones that are 6 a.m. like in Saudi Arabia. Those are the tough ones for me. Like late at night is fine. I don't like waking up early, but I've gotten into that now that I've become one of those weirdo American F1 fans. And it's weird too because I do mainstream sports talk as my job, and then like my hobby is following F1 and on the side. My wife is like, you have too many sports going on.
Wait, so Alex, is that relatively new for you? This is a new phenomenon, liking F1? Or have you been a fan forever?
I mean, new-ish. I mean, I'm one of those guys that got, when the very first season of Drive to Survive came on Netflix, which is now 7 years ago, I was hooked. I was all in. So it's been 7 years of spending way too much money for a monthly subscription to be able to get all this stuff and to be able to watch it. But, you know, Americans are coming in droves. And so this particular topic is really important because F1 could screw this up, because this is a massive amount of money that's come into the sport thanks to America getting involved and really liking it. And it's been, you know, typically, historically, it's a European sport and an Asian and Southeast Asian and now Middle Eastern sport. And so it's one of those things that if you get the U.S. involved, they will break off billions of dollars for you. We have no problem spending it on sports, but they could screw it up. They're on their way to possibly screwing it up.
All right, so let's like set the frame right here, Alex. So this weekend is the Miami Grand Prix, so none of us have to wake up too early or stay up too late to watch it, right? And what we're talking about is, basically, Formula One said that the Andretti team, and then you get into more details or correct anything that I've said wrong, cannot join the grid, right? So there are 10 teams. The rules allow for 12 teams. Mario Andretti asked to join the grid, and Formula One said no. And I think because it's right ahead of Miami, Congress has decided, right, to get involved, and the Andrettis were up on Capitol Hill this week. What am I getting wrong? And, flesh that out for us.
No, nothing's wrong. Leah nailed it all. I think the interesting thing is that, so Mario Andretti, the reason he's an important figure in this is because he is our only recent American champion in F1. He is a world champion in F1. He won it back in, I want to say, the late 70s, maybe 78. And so American world champions in F1 are very rare, and he's one of the few, and he's, you know, a godfather of American racing. And so he threw his name in there, and also he attached it to Cadillac. So it's Andretti Cadillac, which GM and Cadillac are no slouches when it comes to throwing money at racing. They'll do it. And not only that, they'll do it well. And they are primed and ready for it. And as soon as America kind of went all in, like I said, they've had the race in Austin for a while. They added Miami, and then they added, of course, the Las Vegas Grand Prix, which I was able to attend last year with your former producer, which I think is kind of funny, too, because, like, we were down there, and Carlos and I were just, like, I mean, just in awe of what was going on, because people were eating it up. I mean, it's a kajillion-dollar industry, and so it's become huge in America. We have three races now here in the U.S., And so, and the FIA, which is the governing body of motorsport in general, you know, it would be comparable to like FIFA, right? So you have FIFA, who kind of runs all of soccer in the world, of like the sanctioned, more important, you know, leagues. And then you have the leagues that run their own thing. And F1 is just the top league of basically of motorsport, of circuit racing. So the FIA signed off on it and said, yeah, we love it. Here's the proposal. Great. It's not dead, though. The problem is that so the owners and the teams in F1 are the ones who said, no, we don't want this. And they don't like the competitive. So what they're doing is they cut it off for 2026. So 2026 is when they're going to have new rules, new regulations. And they felt like, at least their explanation was, it was too soon to be able to really make an impact and to be competitive. So they want a competitive team to get in, which is funny because there are a lot of teams right now who are not competitive.
Yeah,
so
right.
That's why it's laughable, right?
Right.
So that's
exactly
why it's laughable. So they'll go, including another American team, or at least the Haas team, which is, you know, semi-American. But this is what they call a works team, you know, an OEM team. This is a manufacturer. So they have two things here. They were concerned because Cadillac hasn't developed their own engine yet. They want them to do their own engine. They don't want teams to come in and just start buying from other teams. There's a lot, which is what a lot of other teams do. You know, like Haas buys from Ferrari, Aston Martin buys from Mercedes, Williams buys from Mercedes. So you have teams who do that. So not to get too far into the weeds, they felt like, hey, bring your own engine to the table. And also, 2026 is too soon. Like, for example, Audi is getting in as a works team. They're going to take over the Sauber team in 2028, which is, I think, when the real window is going to open. The regulations are there, and I think they're just doing it to basically say, get your ducks in a row for your own engine manufacturer. I don't think it's total American hate because they see how much money has come in. They can't deny it. And the media rights holder for the entirety of F1 is Liberty Media, which bought the media rights, and it's an American company. So you don't want to upset the media rights holder either. And so I think ultimately it'll end up happening, but you know, it's the equivalent of trying to get start a brand new NHL team, which we're doing, of course, here, but it's already with the, you know, the pieces are already there. They don't have to worry about whether or not, you know, this is going to work because the team is already put together. The coaches are there. The GM is all there, and we can kind of just pick up where they left off. In F1, it takes a minute to develop engines. It takes a long time. These engines are $10 to $14 million per engine. So it's a lot of development. I think they just didn't want it to happen yet. And Congress is right to ask the questions. Their whole thing is antitrust, right? And so
now how does this fit into antitrust, Alex? Can you explain
what they're
that?
Saying is, yeah. So I think what it really is, Adam, is like they're saying, hey, just give us an explanation here. Are you trying to take away the ability to be competitive in this marketplace? Like, are you taking it away because it's an American team and you just don't want Americans involved because your rules say this, but you're doing this? And so I think that Congress got involved because there are a lot of high upper, you know, people who said, hey, will you ask about it?
We're not going to play protectionism to Europeans.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's exactly right. But this is a European run sport but they certainly love to go, yeah, but your media rights holder is an American company, and that makes a big difference. I just think it's going to be one of those things that they're not going to be able to deny them forever. This is Cadillac, GM, you know, that's a huge company. They want teams like Ford involved, and Ford is going to start putting its name on engines for Red Bull in the next little while. But an actual American team, an American manufacturer in the sport will be huge. It'll be the next kind of turn the corner for Americans to really kind of get involved at the mainstream level of F1, but I think it'll just take a minute. I think they're Andretti Cadillac wants to get in, but I think it would be awesome if they made their own engines. I think 2026 in the F1 world, everything goes so slow. It's like, yeah, 2 or 3 years down the line, we're going to have a competitive team. It's very much like, you know, we have with our professional teams. It's like, you know, the Jazz are rebuilding right now.
Yeah.
And rebuilding, you know, showing up with a brand new team is a hard thing to think of for the sake of competitiveness. It's just kind of laughable because there are some really bad teams in F1 right now.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. But I think the thing I wanted to point out is it would be the first American-owned and first American-built team, right, Alex? So it's not
–
Haas is American-owned, but they buy from other companies. This would be ground up, yeah. And just 30 seconds, are they sending you to Miami? Do you get to go for KSL?
That's laughable. That's laughable. No. For some reason, nobody shares that same love for the sport as I do right now in the sports department.
All right, we got to work
I'm
on
still
that,
working
Alex.
On that.
Yeah. All right. Alex Carey, KSL Sports host, assistant program director. Thank you so much for joining us.
You bet, guys. We'll talk to you again.
Next up on KSL at Night, let's pivot and have a conversation about diplomacy and how it regards Ukraine.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.